All right, tonight, our speaker, Larry Acuff, Adamsville, Alabama. He's an elder and a preacher for the Lithium Spring Church of Christ. He also speaks on GBN and the Fountain of Life television program. He's going to come to us tonight in his own way with the topic, Does It Matter? John chapter 8, verse 24. Brother Larry, you ready to hear about this? Does it matter?
Thank you very much, Brother Tommy Brooks. What a great blessing it is to be a part of the nationwide gospel meeting call. It's exciting to me to be able to be a part of this evening and to be a part of this lesson. And thank you very much. I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of John, chapter number 8, verse number 24. The Bible says, I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Well, ladies and gentlemen, ask the question, does it matter? Well, most definitely, because when you and I look at this statement in John 8 and verse 24, our Lord said, if you die in you will die in your sin if you do not believe that I am he. Now, that belief takes more than just a matter of a mental assent. I want you to look at another passage of Scripture with me found in the book of Mark, chapter number 10, verses 46 through 52. What you're going to see in this passage of Scripture, there was a miracle. The Bible says that they came to Jericho, and he went out to Jericho with his disciples, and there was a great number of people. And among them was a blind Bartimaeus. He was the son of Timaeus. And he sat by the wayside, and he was begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou Son of God, have mercy on me. Well, now those on the sideline, and many charged him that he should hold his peace. In other words, shut up. Be quiet. But the Bible says, but he cried the more a great deal, thou Son of David, have mercy upon me. The Bible says that Jesus stood still, commanded him to be called, and they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise. He calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says, and Jesus said unto him, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight. I want to ask you a question. And that question is, did it matter to him? My friend, when you and I, you know, sometimes folks say, this just doesn't really matter. But when you and I look at Mark chapter number 10, and we look at those verses, and then we ask the question, this blind Bartimaeus, when Jesus came by and he started calling, and all those others said, no, don't bother. I'm going to ask you, did it matter to the blind Bartimaeus that Jesus came by? Well, you and I know it did, because it healed him of his blindness. Now, there are three things that people believe and they say, well, it doesn't matter. But I want you to look at the Bible. And as you and I take a look at it, here's the first thing. People believe that baptism doesn't save you. Now, I want you to look at the Bible. 1 Peter 3:21, the Bible says, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Denominationalists say, no, that doesn't matter. You can be saved without being baptized into Christ. And yet, in spite of the fact that 1 Peter 3 and verse 21, the Bible says, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. I remember several years ago, I was studying with a lady, and I went out to her house to study, and when I got there, she said, oh, Brother Acuff, let me show you. I just got this set of books. Well, what she had gotten was a set of commentaries from a denominational preacher. When I look at a set of commentaries from anybody, I'm going to look at some passages of Scripture. I want to know what they're saying. First passage I turned to was 1 Peter 3:21. The Bible says, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Now, I looked at his commentary, and he said, the Bible is in bold print. My words are in italics. Now, when I looked at that commentary in bold print, it said, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. In italics, this writer said baptism does not save. Now, that individual just went completely against the will of God. Does it matter? In Acts chapter 2 and verse number 38, then Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. What does the Bible say? Repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin. Denominationalism says, oh, that doesn't matter. Let's go to Mark 16:16. The Bible says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Well, denominationalism says, oh, no, 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 no. Now, the Bible doesn't say he that believeth not and is not baptized shall be damned. It just, he that believeth, well, my friend, think about something. Let me change this for a minute, and let me put it like this. He that eateth and digesteth shall live. He that eateth not shall die. My friend, there's no need to say he that eateth not and digesteth not, because if a person does not eat, he's not going to digest. But you see, denominationalists say, well, it doesn't matter that you're not baptized. You're saved whether you're baptized or not. Well, let me look at another passage with you. Romans chapter number 6. In the first 5 verses of that chapter, the Bible says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we're buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. When you and I obey the gospel of Christ, and that's what we do, ladies and gentlemen, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul said, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, by which also you're saved. You're saved what? By the gospel. If you keep in mind what I delivered unto you, I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sin, how that he was buried, and how that he was raised again the third day according to the scriptures. The death, the burial, and the resurrection. That's what Romans 6, 1 through 5 is telling us. We are planted together. My friend, we die to the world. We're planted in a watery grave of baptism. We are resurrected to walk a new life. And in that process, we come into contact with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter number 6, verses 16, 17, and 18, the Bible said, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves, servants to obey, as servants you are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness, but God be thanked, you are the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine that was delivered to you, being then made free from sin. When are you made free from sin? When you obey from the heart that form of doctrine. What form? The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He said, being then made free from sin, you became a servant of righteousness. If you and I look at Acts chapter number 16 and we see the Philippian jailer, what did he do? He was baptized for the remission of his sins. Now, denominationalists, they say, well, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Baptism's not going to save you. It doesn't matter. But ladies and gentlemen, listen to this. It makes a difference. Does it matter to God when he says something? Now, I want you to look at some Old Testament illustrations. For an example, 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. The Bible says when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God, took hold of it, or the oxen shook it, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, And God smote him there for his error, and there he died by the ark of God. I want to ask you a question. Did it matter that Uzzah touched the ark? Well, ladies and gentlemen, it did. Because God had said, you don't have to do that. Now, let me go back to chapter number 7. The Bible says, verse number 9, but unto the sons of Kohath he gave none, because the service of the sanctuary belonging unto them was that they should bear up on their shoulders. What's going on? God said the sons of Kohath, they are to carry the ark of God. What did they do? They put it on a new cart. They had put it on a cart. It was to be carried. God had fully revealed that when the ark was moved, it should be carried by the Levites on poles. Now, you can look at Exodus 25, verses 12 through verse 15, and chapter number 37, verses 1, and number 7 and verse 9. Also, that it should always be covered with a goat skin, Numbers chapter 4, and that even the Levites were not to touch it, ladies and gentlemen, lest they die, Numbers 4 and verse 15. Yes, the Philistines had moved it on a new cart pulled by a milk cow, and as one writer said, the Israelites thought the Philistines had a better way of moving it than the Lord. Did it matter to Uzzah? Ladies and gentlemen, it made a difference to Uzzah. You know why? Because the Bible says the ark is to be carried by the sons of Kohath. It was not to be put on a cart pulled by oxen. Same is true, ladies and gentlemen, when you and I look at the plan of salvation, to hear the word of God and to believe in Jesus as the Son of God, to repent of our sins, to confess Christ before men, and to be baptized into Christ for the remission of our sins. My question is, did it matter to us? Well, it most definitely did. And ladies and gentlemen, does it matter where if a man obeys the gospel of Christ through obedience according to the Bible? You know that it does. Let me go to a second thing. People believe that one church is as good as another. Have you ever heard that? Well, I used to hear on the radio, you don't hear it much anymore because there's not that much religious programming on radio, but used to hear it years ago. I'd hear it Saturday, you know, they'd play these songs, getting ready for quotation. They called it the Sabbath, which it was not. But they'd say, now tomorrow is the Lord's Day. Go to the church of your choice. And ladies and gentlemen, the Bible does not teach that. People believe that one church is as good as another. Well, now let's look at the Bible. In Matthew 16, 13 through 18, the Bible says when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? They said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremiah, some one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I? Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood is not revealed unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What did Jesus say he would do? He said, I will build my church. When you and I go to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 4, and you look at two or three verses there, verses 4 through 6, the Bible says there's one body and one spirit, even as you're calling, one hope as you're calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father who is above all, through all, and in you all. Now look at that. The Bible says in Ephesians 4, there is one body, not thousands of bodies, not 250 different bodies. I did a research not long ago. I want you to think about this. I did this research and I searched out the 100 top churches in America today. I found 100 based on attendance. I want you to note something. Out of those 100 churches, the names, even the name on there, on their quotation marks churches, did not carry even the slightest idea that belonged to Christ. There were only 5 of those religious groups who had the word Christ in their title. They were called this church, that church, all kind of names. The Bible says there is one body and one spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling. In the book of Acts, chapter number 2, the Bible says the day of Pentecost was fully come. They were all of one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And that day, Peter stood and he preached that first gospel sermon. Jesus of Nazareth, that was the title of it. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved to God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. He said, you have with wicked hands crucified and slain. David's sepulchre is with you this day. He quoted Joel chapter 2. The Bible says, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. They cried out to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. My friend, 3,000 of them did that. Now watch this. In Acts 2 and verse number 47, for the first time, the Bible says, and the Lord added to the church daily those that were being saved. Well, what does the denominational world say? Well, you say the denominational world said, oh, you know, there are many bodies, yet in Ephesians, the Bible says there's one body, one spirit, even as you're calling, one hope you're calling. Now, I want you, as you and I think about this, folks, and we see, and ask that question, see, the world says, and I'm asking the question, does it matter? The world says, well, one church is just as good as another. Does it matter? We've read in Acts chapter number 2 and Ephesians 4 and 1 Corinthians 1, 10 through 13, I beseech in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you all speak the same thing, that there be no division among you, that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. You can go 750 years prior to the day of Pentecost to the book of Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. The Bible tells us there it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house will be established in the top of the mountain. Now, folks, listen to this. All nations will flow into that. That's what happened in Acts chapter number 2. I want to ask, does it matter? Now, think about this. The world says it doesn't matter. While the world says now it's okay if we have all these different churches and they do different things. My friend, we just looked at Matthew 16, 13 through 18, Ephesians 4, 4 through 6, Acts chapter 2, 1 Corinthians 1, Isaiah chapter 2. Again, but the denominational world says, oh, that doesn't matter. But I want you to look at something. Look at the following scriptures. For an example, in Amos 3, verse 3, the Bible says, can two walk together except they be agreed? You got all of these religious groups, and one's doing one thing, one's doing another thing. The Bible says that we ought to speak the same thing. There be no division among you. Perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. Won't you look at another passage? In the book of Matthew, chapter number 12, and verse number 25, the Bible says, and Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom, listen to this, folks, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. Denominationalism means division. Jesus prayed, I pray that they all might be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. The book of Matthew, chapter number 15, verses 13 and 14, the Bible said, but he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Did it matter? It makes a difference, folks. The plan of salvation, does it matter if a person is baptized for the remission of sins? Or if he's not, it matters, because the Bible says baptism saves us because we come into contact with the blood of Jesus. Does it matter that Jesus said, I will build my church, that he prayed for unity, that when you and I study the scriptures, we learn again that our Lord's body is identified by the following or the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, we follow that, and we follow his word as a guide and direct. Does it matter? It matters, ladies and gentlemen. Let me go to the third thing. People believe that how you worship doesn't matter. Now, we won't have time to go into every detail of worship. John 4, verse number 24, the Bible says, God's a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And in the book of Acts, chapter number 2 and verse number 42, the Bible says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Now, there are five acts of worship. There's singing, praying, preaching, the Lord's Supper, and giving, laying by in store on the first day of the week. Colossians 3, now we don't have time. Here's denominationalism says, oh, let's just have the piano in. Let's bring them in. And you know those 100 churches that I surveyed and I studied? Those 100 churches, largest attended churches in the U.S., almost the picture that was presented, almost every one of them had a band. They emphasized the band. Ladies and gentlemen, shouldn't we emphasize Christ? Doesn't Colossians 3 and verse 16 tell us, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Ephesians 5:19, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. God listens for our voices, ladies and gentlemen. Now, again, we preach the gospel of Christ. We have a sermon on the Lord's Day. I want to emphasize the Bible. Does it matter whether we sing or play? It matters, ladies and gentlemen. It matters. It matters whether, you know, the denominational world, they don't take the Lord's Supper every first day of the week. Or they may take it once a quarter. They may take it once a month. They may take it only on Easter. What's the Bible say? Acts 27, and upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. So when you and I look at Scripture, we've looked at John 4:24, we've looked at Acts 2 and verse number 42, we've looked at Colossians 3 and verse 16, we've looked at Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, as I've given over the churches of Galatia, even so do you upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by in store. Now, folks, but denominational world says, oh, that doesn't matter. Let's have a band. Let's play. Let's do whatever makes us feel good rather than worship. But I want you to notice something. In Genesis chapter 4, Cain did not worship God as God had directed. God didn't accept his worship. He did not worship. He became angry and killed his brother. The Bible says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead, yet speaketh. If you and I go to the Bible, go to the book of 1 Kings chapter 12, verses 25 through verse number 33, the Bible will tell you about Jeroboam after the division of the kingdom. Rehoboam was king, and Jeroboam led 10 of the tribes off, and they were divided. But ladies and gentlemen, Jeroboam didn't want these folks to go back to worship, go back to Jerusalem to worship. So what did he do? Well, he set up the worship in Samaria, to worship. And now here's what he did. He set those idols up, but instead of worshiping in Jerusalem on the right month, what did he do? Well, he changed the month. What he did, my friend, he changed the worship in order to please the people. Now, we don't have time. We could go through all of it, but we don't have time to do that. But, ladies and gentlemen, the point is, does it matter? It matters. It matters to God how we worship. It is God is a spirit. Now, let me let me go to a passage. I want you to think about this. In Matthew 25, verses 31 through verse number 46, the Bible says, when the Son of Man shall come in all his glory, all of his holy angels with him, then shall he sit on the throne of his glory. They'll be gathered together all nations. Put the faithful on the right hand. Before him be all nations. He will separate them. He shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left hand. He will say unto those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. I was hungry, you fed me, thirsty, you gave me drink. I'm a stranger, you took me in, naked, you clothed me, sick, and you visited me in prison, and you came to me. I want to ask these, then shall the righteous answer, Lord, when did we see you like this? And as much as you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did to me. To the ghost on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed. The king shall answer and say to those individuals on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, and the everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Why? I was hungry. You didn't feed me. I was thirsty. You didn't give me drink. I was a stranger. You did not take me in. I was naked. You clothed me. I was sick and in prison. And you did not visit me. The Bible says, then they will go away and everlasting punishment. Did it matter? It mattered. My friend, I want to encourage you to obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It matters according to the Bible. Hear the word of God. Romans 10 and verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. The Bible says in Hebrews 11 and verse number 6, without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We hear the word of God. We believe in Jesus as the Son of God. We repent of our sins. With a heart, man believeth in the righteousness. The Bible says in Romans 10, and we're going to make that confession, but we have to repent of our sins. Luke 13, 3 and 5, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. We confess the precious name of Christ. With a heart, man believeth in the righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. With a heart, man believeth in the righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made. And then we are baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins. That's going back to the very first passage that we looked at. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. We hear the word of God. We believe in Jesus as the Son of God. We repent of our sins. We confess Christ before men. And we're baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins. It has been a great joy to study the Bible with you, and we encourage you to read and study the Bible and to obey the gospel of Christ as God has given it to us. My prayer is, may God bless you all.